The government office that adds rare plants and animals to the federal endangered species list has so little money and so many legal problems that it can't do its job. For several months now, biologists with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service have been refusing to investigate candidates for endangered species protection unless there's a court order to do so. There's a huge backlog of candidate species, and some may go extinct before government biologists have a chance to thoroughly study them. Wildlife experts agree that this part of the Endangered Species Act is in gridlock, but they disagree on how to fix it. NPR's John Nielsen has more.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has identified roughly 300 plants and animals that might need federal protection. There are 5 species of frog on this endangered species waiting list, and 25 species of snail. Also 1 kind of spider, 2 kinds of bats, 7 kinds of shrimp, 1 salmon, 1 prairie chicken, 1 shrew, 2 turtles, and a lot of plants and insects. Nobody knows how close to the brink any one of these so-called candidate species is right now, but Gary Fraser of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says the odds of extinction rise a little bit every day.
The longer the species that are on our candidate list stay there and don't get the protection of the Endangered Species Act, the more likely they are to decline further. The conservation status is going to get worse. Just like any sort of triage system, if a patient is sick, you want to start treating them immediately as opposed to allowing them to get a death door before you start to even begin to assess their condition.
Unfortunately, according to Fraser, only a handful of these plants and animals is even being studied right now by biologists with the Fish and Wildlife Service.
All of these are under court order. We have no discretion whatsoever to go to the list of candidate species, those species that warrant consideration for listing, that we believe are threatened with extinction, and take the actions that we need to get them on the list of endangered species so they can have the protection of the act.
Fraser says the Fish and Wildlife Service simply can't afford to study all the animals it should be studying. He says the field biologists who work for this agency have no time to do it and no money. He says this part of the federal endangered species program is essentially broke and broken. It used to be that people fought over whether the species on the endangered species list were being protected or whether the people who share habitats with protected species were being harmed financially. But these days, the fight is changing. There's been lots of talk about the endangered species backlog and who's to blame for that. Kieran Suckling of the Southwestern Center for Biodiversity says the problem has 2 sources. He says the first is Congress, which has cut or frozen funding for the listing process repeatedly since 1990.
Congress is really, through a budgetary strangulation, preventing species from getting protected, and it's a very big problem.
The endangered species listing budget now stands at roughly $7 million. Suckling says that's a 30th of what it would take to clear the official backlog, but he doesn't think Congress wants the backlog cleared.
We have seen opponents of the act take away money for species recovery, then turn around and say, species aren't recovering. The act doesn't work.
But Suckling also thinks the Fish and Wildlife Service helped bring this problem on themselves. He says this agency often drags its feet on listing issues, especially when the species in question competes for habitat with loggers or developers or other powerful business groups. He says anybody who doubts that should review the number of citizen lawsuits it took to get the Fish and Wildlife Service to add the northern spotted owl to the endangered species list back in the 1980s.
And of course, once it got listed, we had sort of a revolution in forest management in the Pacific Northwest. And so that is a species that was only saved by, you know, tremendous pressure by citizens and willingness to go back to court again and again and again until the agencies actually did the right thing.
Suckling knows all about going to court again and again and again. Over the last few years, his organization has sued the Fish and Wildlife Service dozens of times, winning almost every time. Suckling says those victories have forced the service to do more to protect endangered species, but critics say the real result has been a huge amount of paperwork and not much else. R.J. Smith of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is one of those critics. He thinks groups like the Southwestern Center for Biodiversity aren't interested in saving species so much as they are interested in stopping everything from logging to suburban growth.
It appears their real goal is simply to get people off the land, to depopulate the land. And the tool that they have is the Endangered Species Act. and the ammunition they use is the species, regardless of whether it helps the species or not.
Which it doesn't, in his view.
None of the act seems to be working. It's not recovering species, it's not helping landowners, it's turning all kinds of people who would be willing to work with wildlife on their land against working with wildlife on their land.
Gary Frazier, the Assistant Director for Endangered Species at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, says he disagrees vehemently with the idea that the Endangered Species Act doesn't work when it's called into play. But Frazier does agree that, to a great extent, environmental lawsuits have hamstrung the listing process.
The courts have taken over setting priorities for what we're going to do within our listing program. We need to get back to biological priorities and looking at it in the sense of which species need protection the most, as opposed to which species have had someone take their particular case to the courthouse first.
Interior Secretary Gail Norton has not responded to the backlog problem by asking Congress for a lot more money for endangered species protection. Instead, she wants to make it harder for citizens groups to control the listing process by using the courts. Environmentalists don't like this proposal at all. Kieran Suckling of the Southwestern Center for Biodiversity says the proposals would turn Gail Norton into what he calls a one-person God squad with the power to decide which species live and which species go extinct. He also says Norton's proposed changes would only restrict the effectiveness of lawsuits filed by environmentalists and not industry groups.
And the number of lawsuits out there by industry groups to take species off the list, to get rid of critical habitat, is very large and growing. It's very clear that the goal of this is not about stopping lawsuits. The goal is to stop listing of endangered species, period.
The backlog problem may actually be much worse than the Fish and Wildlife Service says it is. According to some environmental groups, there are thousands and not hundreds of potentially endangered plants and animals in the United States. Hearings on the effectiveness of the listing process will be held in the Senate on Wednesday. John Nielsen, NPR News, Washington.
The Smithsonian Institution's Endangered Species Research Center in rural Virginia is staying open. Smithsonian Secretary Lawrence Small had proposed closing the 32,000-acre facility to save money. The center is used by scientists around the world to study the preservation of endangered species and their reintroduction to the wild. Small says he bowed to the protests of those who said research at the center could not be done in less confined quarters.